Good to see everybody here on the Sunday before Christmas. It's here, and all season long, what we've been talking about is peace. And what we've been talking about is the peace that Christ brings to us that the world can't give, because it's the peace that comes to those who know God, who know the character of God, who know that they are loved by God, and who know the end of our story. That's the peace that the world can't give to us, that Christ says he comes to bring, and he invites us to walk in that peace. As followers of Jesus, we experience hurt, we experience pain, we experience the wounds of this world, but we never lose hope. And we walk with this trust, knowing that we are the children of God and that he's holding the end of our story and that it's going to end in praise. So we walk in his peace. We embody the peace of Jesus Christ in the world. And when we do that, when we walk with hope, trusting God, knowing that he is writing the end of our story, when we walk in that hope, it's his peace that we are making visible. It's not our peace. It's the peace that Jesus gives to us. And Jesus said that if we would lift him up, he would draw all people to himself. And so as we walk in that peace that Christ gives to us, as we embody that peace in the world and others see it, man, we're lifting up Jesus, who is then drawing people to himself. And that's the privilege that we have to live before others in such a way that they get to see Jesus. And what a privilege that is. Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And this is what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, we hear this story, and you know what we do to this story every time we hear it is we sanitize it. We clean it up. We make it cute. And that's what we shouldn't do. If we're going to really get a hold of it. Somebody years ago, somebody gave me kind of a manger scene in a little box encased in glass. And in there, y'all remember this? I brought it one time. There was a giant piece of cow poop in there. And while that might seem sacrilegious, I mean, the real reminder was, don't forget the real story. Not the cleaned up story. But the real story of what was going on that first Christmas. I mean, y'all hear the story that we just read. Do you think that Mary and Joseph would have said, as they were leaving Nazareth and journeying to Bethlehem, do you think they would have said, this is a really cute story? No. Not a single bit of them would have said anything. For Mary and Joseph, the story that we just read is the story of their life getting blown up. That's what's going on right here. Their plans, everything they had dreamed, all their visions for their life, man, suddenly everything is blown up. And Mary, man, had grown up, Mary and Joseph had grown up in Nazareth. It's a little hill town up above the Sea of Galilee, probably had about 200 people in it. And Mary had dreamed about her wedding day, like so many young girls. It was a big deal. Relatives would come in from all over, and she had dreamed about what her wedding day was going to look like. And man, that's out the door. And when you tell people that you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit, you know, not such a good story for the neighbors to hear. Joseph also had dreams about his wedding, and it didn't include waiting until she had a baby to consummate the marriage. Joseph had dreams about what their life would look like together in Nazareth, the life they would build. And suddenly, in just a moment, man, their whole life, they could see it and it was beautiful and excited. In just a moment, man, their plans are blown up. And there is not a single part of me that believes that they are leaving Nazareth on the way to Bethlehem going, this is a really cute story. Someday people ought to read it to their kids at bedtime. And it's just like a lullaby. It's just kind of, their kids will peacefully go to sleep to the story. This is chaos. This is disruption. This is somebody whose lives are suddenly changed in the most dramatic way. We've been talking about peace, and what it made me think about is, how do we walk in his peace when our plans get blown up? Any of y'all relate to that? How do we live in his peace when our dreams and our plans and our vision for where we're gonna be, health-wise, job-wise, retirement-wise, financially-wise, whatever it is, when suddenly all of our plans get blown up, how do we then walk in his peace? What does that look like for us? Because honestly, that's something all of us can relate to, isn't it? I mean, every single one of us can relate to that. I think about my wife, Susan. She had plans since junior high. She had this whole plan laid out for her life of what it was gonna look like. And then when she begins her master's degree at Kansas, suddenly life gets blown up and everything is changed. Some of you, man, your vision of what your relationship was gonna look like got blown up and changed. Your financial life, your job blown up and changed. What you envisioned for your children blown up and changed. Every single one of us, even if it's just you had plans for dinner and that got blown up, right? And we can all relate, every single one of us. So man, how do I walk in this peace when life's not going the way I thought it would go? Well, here's a first thing that I think it's really important for us to understand if we're gonna walk in his peace. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And it says this, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You hear that? Many are the plans that people make, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Here it is, you are not in control. You are not in control. Now, I think that was easier for Mary and Joseph to realize and to live in than for most of us today, because they lived in a world where they knew they weren't in control. They didn't control the temperature in their house by adjusting it on their phone or saying, hey, Alexa. They didn't control the lights, kind of all those kinds of things. They were dependent upon the rain. They were dependent on animals coming or not coming, locusts coming or not coming. They lived and they totally knew that everything was not in their control. I mean, they didn't even get to control who was in office. Man, it was just people who conquered and all these kinds of things. They knew that they weren't in control. But that's harder for us, isn't it? I mean, honestly, we begin to think that we are in control. That this last week, I had a strawberry kefir broccoli sprout shot that, you know, I'm just drinking for my health. It wasn't good. But you know, I'm thinking, man, if I drink this stuff, you know, I'm gonna stay healthy and I'm gonna live and be healthy longer. And maybe that's true. I don't think it'll hurt anything, or I'll drop dead the next moment. I don't really control it. And yet for many of us, when life doesn't go the way we thought, the way that we planned, when suddenly our dreams and our plans are blown up, we act like it's an abomination, like there's been a tear in the fabric of the universe. That somehow life didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, right? And we're like, man, something has gone horribly wrong. When all of life tries to teach us this lesson over and over and over again, that we are not in control. And that's what Proverbs reminds us of right here. It reminds us to hold our plans and our dreams and our visions with an open hand. We all make plans. We all dream. We all kind of see where life is going. And Proverbs doesn't even say not to do that. It just says many are them. That we all do this kind of thing where we have all these things that we think about what our job is gonna be like and what our marriage is gonna be like and what our children are gonna be like and all those things, the house we're gonna live in. We have all those things and many are the plans. What Proverbs says is hold them with an open hand. Because the truth is, no matter what you do or how diligent you are or how faithful you are to Jesus, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. And the truth is that we are not in control. And that's easy to say, and probably all of us know that, but it's hard to live. It's why we react so strongly when things don't go the way we thought they ought to go. We betray what we believe deep down in our heart and our mind by how excited we get when things don't turn out the way that we thought they were going to go. And yet what Proverbs reminds us, life reminds us, the scriptures remind us over and over again, we are not in control. And when we try to grab a hold of control and we try to force life to conform to the vision that we have for it, does that bring us peace? And the answer is no. What it brings us is stress and anxiousness, but because we're trying to be in a place that we cannot be. We are trying to cling to an illusion that we are in control. And it's an illusion. And trying to maintain that illusion leads to so much stress and so much anxiousness in our lives. And Proverbs invites us to hold our plans lightly. Joseph's plans got blown up. Mary's pregnant. Man, plans are blown. And so he comes up with a new plan. Plan B, I'm gonna divorce her quietly. Guess what? Those plans get blown up as well. And so here he is. And so he adjusts. He lets go of his plans and he adjusts to the thing that God is doing. He adjusts his life to the story that God is writing, not to the story that he wrote for himself. And we know that he does that because Joseph was faithful. It says, man, he did what the Lord asked him to do. He adjusted his life to the thing that God was doing in that present moment. And here's the second thing to understand. When our plans get blown up, when our vision and our dreams for whatever area of our life, when they get blown up, it feels like loss, but it is a divine appointment to meet with God in a fresh way and to see God work out purposes in your life that you can't yet see or imagine. When your plans get blown up and it feels like loss, it is a divine appointment with God in which God is going to move and work in your life in a fresh way to make his glory known, to make his kingdom visible, and to declare his grace to all the world. And when we focus only on what we have lost, when we only focus on what we have given up, when we try to cling tightly to something that is not, what we miss is God holding out his hand to us in the midst of where we are and saying, you wanna walk with me? Because what I have for you is a purpose and plans to bring me glory, to make my kingdom visible and to declare my grace to all the world. And when we won't let go and receive what God is doing in us, we miss God putting his arm around us, walking with us in our grief and our disappointment. Because it's okay to grieve and it's okay to be disappointed when life didn't turn out the way you wanted. It's okay. And yet when we're looking at it, when we're just looking as everything's blown up and lost, what we're missing is that God's got his arm around us and God's going, I know, I know. And God is gently steering us into that place where we might walk with him and see God move and work in our lives in ways that we could not yet imagine. Now, some of you go, well, hey, Jeff, that's easy in this story that we're reading right here. That's easy to imagine if an angel shows up and says, hey, I've got new plans for you. Most of us say, okay, that's different, right? I mean, if my plans get blown up because angels appear and God says, I want you to give birth to the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we're like, okay, that's one thing. But some of us, you're thinking about your life and your plans got blown up because you did something stupid. Your plans got blown up because somebody else did something stupid. Your plans got blown up because your boss is a jerk. Your plans got blown up because you were wounded or hurt by the brokenness of this world. And you go, hey, yeah, that's fine. I get it when God shows up and calls somebody to do something and their plans blown and they move with him. But what about the fact that my world got blown up and it didn't feel like God's the one who did it? What about then? And I asked you guys the question I've been asking all along. Do you know our God? Do you know our God? Do you know how amazing he is? And do you know that he works all things for good? Do you know how good and powerful he is? That he works all things for good. And here's the deal. Lots of times I can't tell why my world's, who's responsible for my world being blown up. I can't tell whether it's God or life or whatever. Sometimes it's hard to tell. I don't know what happened right here. I don't know who caused this. I don't always know why it happened. I know who is in control. And I know who has promised to work all things for good. So regardless of why my world got blown up or how my world got blown up or what plans or everything that happened in my life, I know the one who is standing before me, who is holding out his hand and inviting me to walk with him, to bring him glory and to make his kingdom visible and to declare his grace to all the world. And there's nothing that can throw God off in that, because that's how amazing he is. Joseph and Mary were actually caught up in a story they couldn't even begin to understand. And you know, we read this story 2,000 years later and think that Mary and Joseph got it. Do you think Joseph really understood your wife's pregnant by the Holy Spirit? I mean, it's taken theologians thousands of years to kind of work through what's going on. Joseph's like, I don't get that. You know, seems sus to me. And yet, you know, he's just like, okay, God, I don't get it. You think Mary, this young teenage girl, had any idea? I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, that's great. I got no idea what that means, that God is going to take on human flesh. I mean, it took us, you know, hundreds of years after just kind of come to the sense of what does that mean? Mary said, okay, God, they were caught up in a story they could not even begin to understand. When their world got blown up, God was at work doing something that was going to advance his kingdom. And the same thing is true for you. I don't care how your world got blown up or why your world got blown up. The truth is, in the midst of it, God is great and God is good and God loves you and his love hasn't changed and God is working things out for the good of his kingdom right now, right where you are. And God is working through you. The problem for many of us is that we decide We decide what's important or unimportant. We decide what's significant or insignificant. We decide what's consequential or inconsequential. And we've got no idea. We've got no idea about what's important or what's not important. We've got no idea about the things in this world that are consequential or inconsequential. And we decide those things, we label things, but we've got no idea what really matters in God's, you know, whole future and what doesn't. And most of us, we fall into a convenient lie and we say, well, my life's not that important. And that's a convenient lie because it excuses us of the responsibility to do the same thing that Joseph and Mary did. To say, Lord, my plans are all blown up, but here I am. Here I am. And I trust that you are at work. And I take your hand. And I walk with you, and I got no idea. I got no idea what you see or what the future holds. You know, maybe the world is, you know, maybe there's some big, huge, significant thing happening in me preaching this sermon this morning. Be cool, be fun to think about. You know, somebody's life's really changed. And that has some significant impact on the whole history of humanity. We got no idea, I have no idea. Or maybe you being nice to the clerk at Walmart today is something that significant in a way that we can't even begin to imagine right now. We got no idea, and we have no right to assign important or unimportant when we got no idea how God is working out things in the future, and your life matters. And your willingness to let your plans fall and to turn and to say, okay, God, man, I know I'm not in control, but I know the one who is. And so I trust you. Is he trustworthy? That's the one question that matters. Is he trustworthy? In the midst of your broken mess, and if you're not there today, you'll be there one day. In the midst of your broken mess, when life's not working out the way you planned, is he trustworthy? We're going to come forward for Holy Communion today. And we always do it when we come forward. I invite you guys to come and to have your hands open like this. And the reason we do this, the reason I always encourage you to do this is because we don't take the Lord's Supper. It's given to us. It's grace. It is grace that it is placed in our hands. We don't grab it. It's grace. And so I invite you to come today, especially with your hands open. And with our hands open, I invite you today to say, Lord, my plans, my dreams, my visions, I'm holding with an open hand. And what I'm receiving is Jesus. And whatever, all I know is Jesus. All I trust is Jesus. I don't trust in my health. I don't trust in my kids' health for joy and life and peace. I don't know. I don't control things. So I'm going to come with open hands. And I'm going to say, God, I don't control it. And so what I'm going to receive is Jesus. You are my life and you are my joy and you are my peace and you're trustworthy. And because I know who you are, and I know that you love me, and I know how my story ends. It ends in praise. I will walk in your peace, and I will make you known. And so I invite us today, man, to continually live out this story that Mary and Joseph lived in front of us. They show us the way to live with him with open hands. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we're not in control. I'd mess it up. Lord, we trust you. Regardless of what happens in our lives, we have discovered a peace that the world can't understand and a peace that the world can't touch. And it's in you. It's not in controlling our health. It's not in controlling our children. It's not in controlling our bank account. Lord, we are aware, as much as we'd like to think that all those things are controlled by us, we're aware that all those things can be taken away in a moment. So Father, we come today asking for that peace that you alone can give. Father, we thank you that on the night when you were betrayed, you took bread and you gave thanks and you gave it to your disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, you want us to remember your love. You want us to remember that no matter how we had messed up, no matter what was ever going to happen in our lives, that nothing would ever separate us from your great love. We remember how when the supper was over, you took the cup and you raised it up and you gave thanks and gave it to your disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we gather in remembrance of you, remembering the story that we're all living in, that you've showed us. And Father, we trust that you are trustworthy. You alone are our life and our joy and our peace. And so we remember the foundation of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again one day and make all things right, and we will praise you forever for how good you have been every second of our lives. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that redeemed by you, we might embody, Lord, your life before the world, so that you are lifted up, so that people are drawn to you. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when you come again and you make all things right. We pray this in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.